from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, July 21st. Coming up, a little-known drug discount program is critical to helping hospitals that care for uninsured patients, but it's been the center of controversy for years. We'll learn more in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Three Republicans from the Illinois congressional delegation voted against a measure to codify same-sex and interracial marriages. Eric Stock reports.
Congressman Darren LaHood of Peoria and Southern Illinois Representatives Mary Miller and Mike Bost voted against the Respect for Marriage Act. Two House GOP members whose stints in Congress are set to end next year, Rodney Davis and Adam Kinzinger, were among 47 Republicans who joined Democrats in backing the measure. Davis lost in a GOP primary last month against Mary Miller. Kinzinger announced he would not seek re-election after Illinois Democrats drew congressional maps that would have likely forced him into a primary against Darren LaHood. Representative Miller issued a statement in which she described the Respect for Marriage Act as part of a radical left-wing agenda and said the bill attacks the traditional family. It's unclear whether the bill will get a vote in the U.S. Senate. I'm Eric Stock.
Highland Park Mayor Nancy Rotering says it's time for a nationwide ban on assault-style weapons. She testified Wednesday before the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. Rotering said her city implemented its own ban in 2013, but local ordinances like hers and state regulations like the firearm owner's ID card can only go so far.
All of these stopgaps are excellent efforts, and we support them, but let's be clear. The differentiating factor between the U.S. and the rest of the world is assault weapons are available.
Rotering says plenty of well-trained, armed law enforcement were on site and responded within seconds to the July 4th shooting, yet seven people died and dozens more were injured. Opponents of a nationwide ban say there's no evidence it would prevent future mass shootings, despite recent research that indicates banning large-capacity magazines does save lives. The University of Illinois leads the largest health study of box turtles in the world. As Harrison Malkin reports, the study of wildlife can help identify human pandemics before they happen.
That's a big turtle.
Okay, do you need another picture?
It's a beautiful day at Kennecook County Park, and researchers and veterinary students from the University of Illinois are searching the area for eastern box turtles. Five Boykin Spaniels trained to track turtle scent trails are leading the way. Dr. Matt Allender is a clinical associate professor at the U of I's Veterinary Diagnostic Lab. Allender says this work has high stakes as pandemics become more likely.
And that's the whole premise around a lot of our programs for wildlife, is that we're using wildlife and we're assessing wildlife health to identify the diseases that may cause the next pandemic.
With the help of the spaniels, the veterinary team found 20 box turtles. Some were hiding under thorny shrubs, while others snacked on blackberries. I'm Harrison Malkin, Illinois Newsroom.
The Champaign County Fair kicks off tomorrow morning, starting with a horse show from the 4-H Youth Development Program. Molly Kipfer is the Extension Program Coordinator with Champaign County's 4-H program. Kipfer says the county fair is a big deal for children in 4-H. It lets them show off the skills they've learned and the hard work they've put into their project during the year. She says some examples of projects are livestock, woodworking, robotics, and photography.
The county fair is the end result in a sense. Not everybody competes, but the ones that do, I feel, really learn a lot about their project area and take their criticisms that they got from the judge and turn it into something better next year.
Kipfer says more than 1,300 kids submitted entries to compete in the 4-H exhibition at this year's Champaign County Fair, but she says that's a lower number compared to the years before COVID. Still to come, we'll learn why a little-known drug discount program is so controversial. That story from Side Effects Public Media's partner Tradeoffs is coming up next on 217 Today.
In Season 8 of the Masterpiece Mystery Series Endeavor, Sean Evans returns as Detective Sergeant Endeavor Morse. It's 1971, and the Oxford City Police Team is investigating suspected IRA retaliations, the murder of a local cab driver, and the strange killing of a college fellow. When Endeavor begins struggling with his inner demons, the team wonders if he'll ever be able to pull himself back together. Learn how you can stream all 8 seasons of the show at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Now it's time for a look at the latest in health policy news from SideFX Public Media's partner, Tradeoffs.
A controversial program that brings in billions of dollars a year to about 40% of U.S. hospitals had its moment in the sun this summer.
You'll hear an argument next in case 2011-14, American Hospital Association versus Becerra.
I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Tradeoffs. The program is called 340B, and the Supreme Court's unanimous ruling on a technical question left untouched the controversy that has dogged the program for years. Who should benefit? That question has pitted hospitals against hospitals, pharmaceutical giants against clinics that serve low-income patients, stuck in the middle, some of the country's poorest and most vulnerable people. Joining me is University of Minnesota economist and Tradeoffs research editor Sai Nikpay, who has studied 340B for years. Sai, let's start with the basics. How's the program work?
Sure, Dan. Well, since 1992, Congress has required drug makers to give big discounts to hospitals and clinics that serve a lot of poor and uninsured patients. So imagine a drug normally costs $100,000. A 340B hospital or clinic can buy that drug directly from the drug maker for closer to $50,000.
And what does that mean, say, for the patient who needs that drug? How much do they pay?
If someone's uninsured, they'll often pay little or nothing. That's part of the idea with 340B. These big discounts trickle down to make prescriptions more affordable for low-income people.
And what if a person has insurance?
Well, if you're insured, you'll probably have a copay, like any other prescription, and your insurance will cover the rest. But this is where it gets interesting, Dan. Even though the hospital or clinic only paid $50,000 for that drug, they can charge your insurer the whole $100,000 and pocket $50,000. They can use that money then to cover the free doses that they're giving to the uninsured, or they can use it to just keep the lights on.
Which is always a struggle for hospitals and clinics that serve lots of low-income people. So, Sai, why is this program so controversial?
Well, back in the 1990s, fewer than 3% of hospitals got these discounts. Today, it's more than 40%, and many of them are not treating huge numbers of low-income and uninsured patients. And this has led drug makers and some policymakers to argue that these hospitals are using 340B to pad their profits instead of helping low-income patients.
That is a big claim. Is there evidence to back it up?
Well, the hospitals say they use the savings to provide cheaper medications and offer more free care. But it's really hard to check those kinds of claims. And technically, the hospitals can use the money however they want. There are no reporting requirements. There is research, however, that shows that hospitals that joined 340B more recently spend less on charity care and are more likely to set up clinics in richer communities, and then they spend more on drugs once they join the program.
So it sounds like these newer hospitals are reaping the benefits of 340B, but it's a bit of a mystery whether they're actually doing more to help low-income patients. I can see why the drug companies would be upset about this, but why should the rest of us care?
Because this program is critical to helping hospitals and clinics that do care for a lot of uninsured folks. And if it keeps being seen as just a way for hospitals to pad profits, it could go away completely. More than a dozen drug makers are already refusing to offer 340B discounts to some pharmacies, which is putting some clinics in a real bind.
Sai Nikpay, thank you so much.
No problem, Dan.
To learn more about the 340B program and what Congress could do to fix it, check out the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Tradeoffs.
Find more health news from Tradeoffs and WILL at illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be sunny and hot again today with a high of 91 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Eric Stock, Alex Degman, Harrison Malkin, Sydney Wood, and Dan Gorenstein. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.